morning's reading is Psalm 73. It's to be found on page 586 in the Church Bible. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had almost lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?" This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They're like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite Alex up now to come and bring God's word to us. I'm going to pray for her just before she begins as well. Will you join with me in prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Psalm 73. Thank you for how precious it is. Thank you for that original singer. But thank you also for Alex and the work you've been doing in her life. Please do speak to us through her now. Please open our hearts and our ears to hear you as she preaches. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. As David said, my name's Alex, and I've been coming to St. Patrick's for about 7 years now. And those of you who do know me might well be surprised to see me up here, but I can assure you, you're not as surprised as I am. Well, a few weeks before David asked me to speak, I had prayed, "Here I am, send me." Actually, my prayer went something more along the lines of, "Lord, I want to pray, 'Here I am, send me,' but I can't because I don't really mean it." I didn't want God to ask me to do something scary or something I didn't want to do. Speaking in church definitely falls into both of those categories, but here I am and I'm really nervous, so please bear with me. I'm not sure when I became a Christian. I grew up in a Christian family, going to a traditional Church of England church. I was baptized and confirmed at 14, along with all my friends. And whilst I understood the words we said and that Jesus had died for me, I'm sure I didn't understand the full significance of what it meant and what it meant for me living my life. God and church have always been part of my life, though, to varying degrees. But since walking through the doors here at St. Patrick's, my relationship with God and Jesus and my knowledge and understanding of what it means to be a Christian have grown massively. So why have I chosen to speak about Psalm 73? Well, I happened upon it whilst looking for passages on something else, that I can't remember what that was now, and verse 28 caught my eye. "But as for me, it is good to be near God." I was like, yes, yes, it is good to be near God, to know God. And when I pause on these words, I sigh, and my shoulders drop a bit from around my ears where they normally reside, and I feel a sort of breath of peace. I looked back through the psalm, and verses 21 to 28, which I'll focus on later, really resonated with me. I could see the recent years of my life reflected in them. And looking at the psalm as a whole, I saw it was about envy and life being unfair, and also about God's response to honest prayer. So for a bit of context, the psalm is written by Asaph, a worship leader appointed by King David. He is envious of ungodly people who are not suffering the daily struggles he, a godly man, is experiencing. They're all fit, healthy, and wealthy, and generally having a good life. It's unfair, and Asaph takes all this to God. He meets with God in honest, heartfelt prayer, and God responds, telling him, or at least reminding him, that these people will suffer and will be punished in the end. In the end, they will perish and be destroyed, and Asaph will be taken into glory with God. I think we all know and would say that life is unfair, yet we still feel hard done by, or even that we're being punished when we suffer or experience certain things. So I hope that Asaph's reminder serves as an encouraging reminder to us too. I relate strongly to Asaph's envy. Life feels very unfair in some areas. Unlike him, though, I'm not concerned with the people I'm envious of, but rather with envy itself. I've been discontent and restless for quite a few years. And I've probably only realised in the last year that envy is at the root of this. I've been aware of it, but I've not made the connection of its impact. What then is the subject of my envy? Well, for sure, I'm envious of people having money, or particular things that money can buy, or very large chocolate buttons. But my biggest struggle is over other people's relationships, namely marriage, and the family that often comes along with it. A couple of years before I arrived at St. Patrick's, I had separated from my husband and I was going through divorce. Everyone around me seemed to be happily married. Babies were popping out here, there, and everywhere, and I felt like a failure. I was ashamed and embarrassed. I was hurting, lonely, angry, and bitter. Life felt really pretty pointless. What exactly was I living for? Nobody needed me, so what was the point of battling through each day? It was so unfair. So this is where I was at when I arrived at St. Patrick's and where I start my journey in verse 21 of the psalm. I actually felt a lot of relief when my marriage ended, but it was still extremely painful. My heart was grieved. Grieved at the lost relationship and the future and family I had expected and desired it to bring. I was definitely bitter, and I found it difficult to spend time with the happy couples and families, and I struggled to feel any joy at the arrival of their new babies. Some of my behaviour and words, and certainly thoughts, were senseless and ugly. I was the brute beast in verse 22. Being called a brute beast is kind of a double whammy of beastliness, as the definitions are practically identical. And yes, I did actually look these up, as I thought it was a bit strange that two words that meaning the same thing were used right next door to each other. And this just emphasizes for me the seriousness of the effects of bitterness on me. Bitterness cut through my being into my words and actions. It was like I was determined to be miserable. I wasn't particularly close to God at this time, but I did pray, mostly, why me, help me, this is so unfair, those sorts of desperate prayers. but God definitely had, and still has, hold of my hand and has guided me with his counsel. Counsel through Bible-based sermons here at church, through my home group and individuals, and through courses such as Christianity and Hope Explored. I had a breakthrough and answer to prayer during lockdown when I finally managed to get into the daily habit of reading my Bible and spending quiet time with God. And what a blessing this is. Although I used to be late starting work because I couldn't get out of bed, and now I'm still late for starting work, even though I get up an hour earlier. Receiving God's counsel is probably the most significant part of my story. Whilst not a direct, practical solution to my problems, by building my knowledge and resources, building my relationship with God and with Jesus, I believe things have changed, or rather, I have changed. I think my help me prayers are being answered, but not necessarily with the answers I really want. One of the things I find most comforting about knowing God is that he sees everything. I don't need to hide. I cannot hide. I can just be fully me, fully broken me, totally honest. He knows what I have felt, said, thought, and done. A lot of it is not a pretty sight, like this envy and bitterness, yet God loves me and will still take me to glory. Through knowing God and trusting in him, knowing and trusting in Jesus, there is a place for me in heaven, and that's awesome. I've not got it all sus by any means. I'm certainly still a work in progress, and I can't honestly say that earth has nothing I desire besides God. I still desire to be married and to have a family, but the balance has shifted. This desire no longer dominates my thoughts and feelings. It no longer dominates my life. The envy and bitterness have faded, and I desire to do more for God, trying to live my life for his glory, trying to trust in his plan for me, more and more, little by little. My future doesn't look how I want it to look, and I still feel quite sad about it when I dwell on it, but I can dwell on Jesus. I can dwell in Jesus instead, and my life and future feels more hopeful. I expect I will always have a battle with envy in some form, but like Asaph in verse 26, I'm learning to draw my strength from God. He is my portion and where I am choosing to put my trust. I can see the work he has done in my life in these last few years. Nothing has changed, yet everything has changed. I don't want envy and bitterness or anything else to draw me away from God. I don't want to become one of the unfaithful in verse 27 that will perish under God's judgment. And I think verse 28 makes a great memory verse to help with this. It says, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." So I hope that Psalm 73 and my story encourage you to be honest and heartfelt in your prayers and worship, and that God does respond. I hope it encourages you in building and tending to your relationship with God and to see that he is worth getting to know. I hope you are encouraged to see that God does work in our lives and can deal with our battles. He can change our feelings and attitudes, even when we don't want to admit to them because they're painful or embarrassing, or when maybe we don't even know what we're fighting. And finally, the last line of the psalm, "I will tell of all your deeds." Telling the deeds of God is always going to be difficult for me, and probably for many of us. But I believe it's important to try. I don't plan to make a habit of standing up here and doing it, but I do need practice to do it in everyday life, particularly outside of church. So if you see me, perhaps ask me to tell you what God has done. And let us all practice telling of God's deeds here with our church family to enable us to do it in the world. Amen.